This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
I think it was Raymond who was with me. And I started the show, and I continued to say something over and over and over again. We go to break. He comes into the studio, and he goes, you can't say that on air. He saved my bacon there.
Love bacon.
And this is why we don't understand why he's so mean to Raymond.
I mean, the guy nearly fell over in his chair yesterday when Chris stumbled on a read.
So. You should have heard me.
You can only find him on FanDuel.
I'm not attacking Santiago as much as I'm equal opportunity for everybody. Not an Amazon Prime member. Don't worry.
This is DCR.
This is exactly why I love Friday. Eligibility restrictions do apply.
Do they? Are we sure they do?
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, DCR 98.7 ESPN. We will hear from Peter King, who was on the K Show, in just a moment. But this has now become bizarre. We probably took, what would you say, 7 to 9 calls in the first hour. Would you say at least half of those were from Rutherford, New Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay. Another caller from Rutherford. Jimmy. All they do in Rutherford is listen to DCR on 98.7. Jimmy, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. We love listening to your show. I appreciate it. I did like getting hung up on. I want to talk about the Yankees. I wanted to hear Chris's opinion on the Yankees. We were partaking a little bit of adult beverages, so we were having a good time in Miami at 11. But I want to know if Chris thinks that the Yankees' leadership is lacking a little bit. I think Aaron Judge is kind of being forced into the Derek Jeter role, and he's not really taking it on very well. I think that Aaron Boone is kind of just a flat voice in the clubhouse with Brian Cashman kind of pulling the strings on a lot of the Yankees roster. And I don't really think they have enough fiery guys. I think Luke Voit could be one of those guys, but he has to come back and perform. I think Brett Gardner is kind of that guy on occasion, but he's also a role player on this team.
Let's go, buddy!
Well, he's hanging out with a buddy at this hour.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. It's a group thing for those guys listening to DCR. But to Jimmy's point, I mean, we've been talking about the leadership on the Yankees all week. And leadership has a lot of different forms. I'm not sure that it necessarily has to be a fiery guy. But you need to have that stabilizing force in the clubhouse. And it just doesn't feel like the Yankees have that guy that's able to grab this team by the throat when they hit adversity. Like, they're going through a rough patch right now. Like, nobody expected their season to get off to this kind of start. And yet it feels like they're scrambling to kind of find their footing. They just don't have that guy that they can lean on in order to get the team back on track. Like, they had CC Sabathia a couple of years ago. You could tell, like, he was one of those guys. Like, he was the stopper for the Yankees. Like, if they were going through a rough patch, he'd take the mound, he'd take the ball, and things would change. Like, they would find a way to be able to get themselves back on track. They'd right themselves. Doesn't feel like the Yankees have that guy on this roster right now.
You saw a little bit of yesterday. I mean, Gio Urshela a little bit yesterday, standing up, banging the bat. Like, I mean, it's a lot easier to have energy when you're actually, hitting and getting big hits in big moments. And I give credit to Odor. I mean, that was another big hit he had last night.
That was a big hit from him yesterday. Yep.
Huge.
But, I mean, I think there is leadership. I believe that. And we spent the last couple of years talking about how Aaron Judge is the captain of this team, and he's, taking the mantle from Derek Jeter. I just don't think they don't have a lot of big personalities that bring a lot of extra energy or fire to play in the game of baseball.
I think that's fair. If you're winning, I don't think anybody cares. But when you're losing, now all of a sudden you have leadership issues, right?
Yeah, I think a part of the problem, too, is that we all assume that Aaron Boone is just Brian Cashman's puppet, and I don't know how that plays in the clubhouse. You know what I mean? Like, if Aaron Boone has a closed door meeting with the team, like how seriously are they taking that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they didn't respond well to the one that he had last week, but I don't know if that's a direct reflection on his lack of control of this team. All right, we'll get back to the baseball a little bit later. 1-800-919-3776. So I'm doing pickup from school yesterday, and I'm in the car. And I hear Peter King, and I love Peter King. I'm a huge fan of Peter King. So I stay in the car for a few minutes to listen to him on the K Show. and they start with the Giants, and then I got disgusted when he said that the Giants completely overpaid for one Kenny Golladay.
In my opinion, absolutely, they spent too much money on Golladay. I thought they went too far with that, especially when there was nobody else in the NFL talking to Golladay about a contract of that anywhere near that magnitude. Particularly in a cap strap time, that they really went overboard with Golladay.
It feels like it to me as well, and I thought this at the time, and I was actually shocked. I think they signed him on a Saturday or a Sunday, and I remember I was on that morning, and someone called and said, what kind of a deal, how much do you think he'll get? And there was just a signing, I forget who it was, a receiver who got this crazy small number. It might have been Juju Smith-Schuster, and I remember saying, I see Golladay at like 13, maybe 14 a year. He got $18 million a year. They paid him a lot. But I don't want to say overpaid. I'd like to see what he produces in year one before I'd make a statement like that.
Well, they gave him all that money, Dave, because they need him to help them evaluate Daniel Jones. That's what it comes down to. I mean, the Giants had the second worst offense in the NFL and the second fewest passing touchdowns. Like, they needed to go out and get a true number one wide receiver, somebody that they felt like would give Daniel Jones an opportunity to have success. Like, you don't want Daniel Jones in year three to have the excuse of, well, he just didn't have the weapons, he didn't have the skill position players in order to be a productive quarterback. Like, the Giants paid $18 million a year to eliminate that excuse and to help them determine whether or not the guy under center is going to be their guy for the next decade plus. So I understand where Peter King is coming from in terms of the financial commitment. $72 million a year, $72 million over 4 years is a lot of money for Kenny Golladay, especially with the injuries that he had last year. But, I mean, you got to look at the big picture. To me, this is more about Daniel Jones than it is about, you know, whether or not Kenny Golladay is worth that kind of money.
Yeah, I think there's a little tinge of desperation a little bit.
I think that's okay. But that's okay? No?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I get it. I mean, with what happened in the pandemic, the salary cap goes down, so there's a lot of teams that are cash strapped. I don't know if signing Kenny Golladay to the money they signed him to affected them signing other players that they wanted to sign.
I mean, they had a very aggressive offseason in signing guys.
Yeah, and they wanted to give them. I mean, the reason why they went and did this was obviously Daniel Jones, but also give themselves the flexibility in the draft to not be forced into having to draft a certain position.
That's right. They do have flexibility now in the draft coming up next Thursday. Of course, you can hear it here on 98.7 ESPN and watch it on ESPN and ABC television. But look, if it was all Golladay, if it was one free agency signing this offseason, they did nothing else, you'd say, God, they spent so much money on one guy and didn't do anything else. They signed a corner they really liked. They signed a tight end that they really liked. So it's not like that was prohibitive for them and didn't allow them other moves this offseason.
And they re-signed Leonard Williams, Dave.
Yeah.
Who was one of their best defensive players last year, along with James Bradbury. So, I mean, the Giants took care of their business this offseason. I don't think the Kenny Golladay signing was prohibitive in terms of the other things that they wanted to do. But I just felt like that was an area that they had to address because they really didn't have a true number one receiver on this roster. They had a bunch of guys last year, Dave. I mean, Golden Tate and Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. I mean, they're all fine players, but it's just a bunch of guys. Like, you don't have that receiver that's going to make the defense think twice. You don't have that guy that's going to dictate front and coverage out there outside of the numbers. Kenny Golladay at least gives you elements of that. Like, you're not worried about projecting whether or not the guy can do a job. This is not about, you know, whether or not, you know, you're going to be able to have a rookie step in and be a number one receiver. No, you've got somebody that's been a number one receiver. You've got somebody that's been a 1,000-yard, double-digit touchdown guy in the NFL. So you have that. And so I think that gives them a better opportunity to evaluate your quarterback.
All right. So we heard what he had to say about Kenny Golladay. Thinks they grossly overpaid. More from Peter King on the K-Show yesterday. Who should the Giants now take at number 11 next week?
If I were them, I'd either go with, if one of those two tackles are still there, maybe Rashawn Slater from Northwestern, I'd either go with another piece up front to protect Daniel Jones, or I'd go with the best defensive player on the board.
If you take the best defensive player on the board at 11, I don't know why you wouldn't trade back and stockpile something and still take that player, because I think he'll probably be there at 15.
Well, you're not going to be able to still. Yeah, no, I don't know if he meant that. I mean, I think he's talking about like Surtain or one of the corners.
Oh, one of the corners?
That's what he's talking about. He's like not talking about taking the best edge pass rusher. He's talking about taking the best defensive player in the draft.
Like a J.C. Horn kind of a guy?
Horn, Surtain, Jr. Yeah, one of those guys. Which is a premium position.
If Sewell is there and they don't run up and snap him up, I would be grossly disappointed.
I was watching some of the highlights of Sewell yesterday. I mean, I get he didn't play because he opted out. But some of that tape with how, like, he's super athletic, too. Like, he's
ragged on there at 11. There's no way he's there at 11.
I think he goes at 5, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he goes to the Bengals at 5, too.
There's no way
he's there. It'd be interesting, though. If he was there, it'd be interesting, though, like, what the Giants would do. Because I'm with you guys. I think you have to draft him. But then you got to juggle your offensive line up front. I mean, you're probably talking about having to move Andrew Thomas.
But I think you can never have too much depth in any one position.
No, I think Sewell's been. I think he's been doing stuff at right tackle too, just in case. But it actually may work out better. I mean, it maybe ends up being Andrew Thomas is a better right tackle than a left tackle.
Yep, it could be. Here's Mel Kiper saying, not Sewell, but Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern is a guy that he really likes for the Giants at 11.
Yeah, he's there. I agree with the pick 100%. This offensive line holds the key to everything the Giants do, good or bad this year, holds the key to Dave Gettleman's future, not Joe Judge. He's going to be around. But Daniel Jones and Dave Gettleman are tied together. And if it doesn't work, then you're getting things changing there. And I think certainly that offensive line, Andrew Thomas in year two, better be a really good left tackle. If he's not, at least Slater can play left tackle. He can play right tackle. He's got experience in high school at guard. So he's that versatile lineman, that versatile piece that the Giants would love to get if he were there. I don't think he'll be there, but if he were there, it would be a great pick.
So I'm told that's him reacting to you having the Giants taking Slater at 11, Chris.
Yeah, we did the KJZ mock draft yesterday, and I love Rashawn Slater. If Rashawn Slater is on the board, they got to go in that direction, Dave. I love the player. I mean, I watch him play. He reminds me the way he moves of Walter Jones. Like, that's what it looks like on tape.
Walter Jones, Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hell of a football player. But the position versatility that Rashawn Slater gives you, he can play all five positions on the offensive line. So that's why, to me, it seems like it's a no-brainer if he's still on the board. Just because he can play tackle, if Andrew Thomas continues to struggle, he can slide in, he can play guard. I mean, you did lose Kevin Zeitler, who was your best offensive lineman last year, so he could help fortify the interior offensive line. I just feel like with such a big year and so much emphasis on evaluating Daniel Jones, I'm big on making sure you put the requisite pieces around him so the kid can have success. And that offensive line is still a work in progress. Like, I know they got better in the half of last year, but in straight drop back situations, it's one of the worst graded offensive lines in football last year. So, I mean, they've got to continue to try to improve that group, and Rashawn Slater would go a long ways to being able to do that.
Let's go to John in Valley Stream. John, get right to it because Santiago will cut you off at the knees very quickly. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to state my case for biggest fan, and then I have one quick question. I'm going to go a little another route. The reason I'm the biggest fan, number one, Dave, you inspired me to lose 23 pounds.
Nice.
Number two, Rick, over the pandemic, I became a hockey fan strictly because of you and your enthusiasm. And number three, Chris, you know, you always tweet me back. Hunt and Fish Club is on my agenda. And, you know, what more can I say? You're a Super Bowl champion for my favorite team, New York Giants. That being said, that's my case. And then I got a quick question for you guys.
Go ahead, and then we'll vote on whether you're in or not, John.
Okay. Just real quick. If you guys signed your deals, became professionals, what was, like, the most pretentious, biggest thing you guys bought that you look back now and be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that? Always kind of curious what athletes did and all. And I was just curious what you guys did. Was there any big item purchase you guys made that, looking back now, you're like, man, you know, I wish I didn't do that, or, you know, something like that? Thanks for taking my call.
Rims.
I hope I make it in the Elite Eight. Bye.
Thanks, John. What do you got?
Yeah, I got rims in my basement too, Chris. Anyone needs any?
Yeah, I got like three sets of rims in my garage. Ridiculous.
Oh, what a waste.
The hell was I thinking about buying rims for a car?
What a waste.
Such a ridiculous purchase.
All right, so let's vote on him. What do you say?
Yeah. I vote yes.
Yeah, I vote yeah.
I will make it a clean sweep. And he was smart. He played to each of us.
The whole Peter King thing kind of pisses me off, too, for some reason. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about it. It just aggravates me. grossly overpaid for Kenny Golladay. When else are you going to spend the money? You got a rookie quarterback, a quarterback on a rookie deal. You needed a number one wide receiver. You wanted to lessen the cap hit.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We do have Getting to Know Your Co-host at 6:45. Rick, you've been dreadful lately. Are you over-anxious for this contest taking place at 6:45 this morning?
No, I decided I have to change my tactics here. Nothing's been working. I'm just going relaxed.
You can't just completely change your game plan.
I have to.
Really?
Yeah, so what do you want to be, the Yankees? Where even when things aren't going well, I just keep doing the same thing?
Have a closed-door meeting and you know, come out swinging.
I just go, just verbally berate myself in a closed-door meeting. Look in the mirror and be like, what's wrong with you?
You're terrible. What's the matter with you? Yes. Look at that beard. It's scraggly.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, reaming on yourself is never a good thing.
Or is it?
I would say probably not. All right. Although what's happened.
All right now. Dave Gettleman addressed the media yesterday. I'm sorry. Maybe this is just me. Maybe other Giants fans. Like, why does it bother you so much every time this guy turns on the microphone? It does. I wish it didn't. It does. Here he is yesterday telling us why he's never traded back in the first round.
I've tried in the past. Honest, I've tried to trade back, but it's going to be value. I'm not getting fleeced. I refuse to do it. And if, you know, somebody wants to make a bad trade back, God bless them. But, you know, we've had opportunities. I've tried. And there, you have to understand the other piece of this, Dan, is sometimes you have a trade and the guy that the team is trading up for gets picked in front of you. We've had that happen to us. We got a trade. And the so-and-so selects. No trade, Dave. Goodbye. And they hang the phone up on me. So that happens too. I mean, it's like it's almost becoming urban myth. I've tried. I really have.
It's not becoming urban myth. You've never done it.
Urban myth.
I've tried in the past.
So every other general manager around the National Football League can figure out a way to trade back and get value, except Dave Gettleman.
That's
not getting fleeced.
Yes.
He's not getting fleeced, but what he is doing is racking up double-digit loss seasons, continuing to happen. We're going on 4 years now, Dave?
Yeah.
He's been general manager?
They haven't had six wins with him here, Chris. Six.
Yeah, but Dave and Chris, at what point, like, Chris, you just mentioned it. I mean, it happens every draft. I mean, there are teams that's part of their philosophy is they trade back, get more value.
Like the Seahawks do it beautifully.
Well, and you can understand it too. I mean, we had Graz on the other day when he starts breaking down, you know, how many of these guys end up, you know, sticking around for a second contract in the first round. I mean, it really is a crapshoot. So I can understand why you would do it and why the Giants would do it because they only have six picks in this draft. But at what point do you realize like that that maybe the word is out that you may be stupid enough to get fleeced in one of these deals?
I'm not getting fleeced.
Like not every, yeah, exactly. Like, every time someone calls, they're trying to fleece him for moving back. Every single time,
I have zero confidence in this guy. I mean, he sounds like Chris Farley would play him on Saturday Night Live. Like
I've tried in the past.
I mean, smacking the table, the accent again. I don't know. It's probably unfair of me to take this tact, but you know what the bottom line is, Chris? He hasn't won. He's been here for years. He hasn't won. They're not. I don't know how close they are to winning. And he makes a mockery out of every time he talks to the media.
We are the Giants.
Very frustrating.
But Dave, he makes himself look ridiculous because he talks in this arrogant tone, and it's like, what have you accomplished as a general manager of the New York Giants where you can talk down to the media and to the fan base? Like, that's the part of it that I don't understand, and it's hard for me to accept. Like, okay, get the program back on track. Now, I will give Dave Gettleman credit. In free agency, he's pretty good. When it comes to finding a head coach, looks like he did the job with Joe Judge. So I just, those are things that he can, you know, count as feathers in his cap. But I mean, Dave, there's still a lot to be desired from Dave Gettleman in terms of roster building, particularly when it comes to the draft. And if you're going to have sustained success, we know that that's where your general manager has to win. And Dave Gettleman hasn't been winning.
You picked what? Two. You picked four. You picked six. And now you pick 11. And the best
jury, Dave, the jury is still out on all of those picks for different reasons.
We're going to do everything with class.
Barkley,
think about that. Right. You're talking about top six picks.
Yeah,
I mean, jury's Barkley, still out on them.
jury out because of injury. And I think it's fair to say that he's not. I think it's fair to say that he's not lived up to what you thought he was going to be. If I would have told you 3 years ago, this is what Saquon Barkley would be year 1, 2, and 3, would you have signed up for it?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
And Rick, you wouldn't have either. You thought he was going to be better than this.
Well, I'm not. I was hoping he would be better than this.
No, you thought he would be better than this.
Who?
Barkley.
Well, I didn't. I mean, again, he's been hurt.
Oh, okay.
Which was part of the reason why we said don't draft the running back with the second overall pick.
Yes, exactly.
Because God forbid
we have the Giants.
But Barkley has not been as great as you thought he'd be. Jones has not been as. I don't know that anybody thought he'd be great, but there's still huge question marks surrounding him. Andrew Thomas was the worst of the four tackles taken. This is now year 4 for Dave Gettleman. I would think that most, and maybe I'm wrong, but you guys tell me if you agree with this or not. Most good GMs can take a team that is subpar talent and within 4 years have them in the postseason. No?
I would agree with that, Dave. I would agree with that. But, I mean, at some point you have to realize, okay, the guy has not done the job well enough to continue to have the opportunity to be the general manager. Like, I mean, we're getting to that time with Dave Gettleman. I mean, how many general managers with what he's done in the first 3 years on the job, the first 3 full seasons he's had the job, what has he done where you can really point to it and say, you know what, Dave Gettleman deserves to have this job this year or deserves to have the job going into 2022? Like, there's nothing that he's accomplished where you would say, okay, he deserves this level of job security. Nothing.
I'm not getting fleeced.
Oh, God. That's
true. Yeah, the Giants got fleeced when they hired him at GM.
No contract and no compromise. Go ahead.
No, this is it. And I remember saying it at the time. I mean, we said it at the time before they hired Dave Gettleman. The whole idea of hiring Dave Gettleman because he knows how we like to do business is not a good enough reason to hire Dave Gettleman.
No. And you know who his successor is going to be if, in fact, they move on from him at the end of the year.
Kevin Abram?
That's right. It'll be Kevin Abrams because that's what the Giants are comfortable with. Why not actually look at it and say, we hired this guy from outside the organization. We love him, right? Everyone, every fan, every player, every coach, everybody in the front office loves Joe Judge. Why not turn to him and say, what will make this job the easiest for you? Who can we bring in that you trust, that you believe in, to work in conjunction with this GM? Wouldn't that make sense?
And that's usually what makes sense. Yeah, I mean that's where that's where the NFL is headed. The partnership between the coach and the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Like those two are tied at the hip. But this is it. I mean, this is rubber meets road for Dave Gettleman. I mean, this is why he spent all the money on Kenny Golladay in Adoree Jackson, overlooked the injury past and everything else, which is something that they don't normally do.
No, very rarely do.
So and this is it. If Daniel Jones doesn't have a good season, if the Giants don't have a good season,
he's already out.
The owner. He's out.
He's out. I mean, if Daniel Jones is bad this year, your GM is gone, and you're probably in the market for a new quarterback next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you're at.
Which means that you then start this thing all over again. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven. All right, here we go. 98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. On Thursday, May the 6th, we're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in all of baseball, featuring Alex Rodriguez, Matt Vasgersian, Buster Olney. And it's all hosted by the man who has locks that go on for days, has committed his entire life to the game. You know him as the Human Rant, Don LaGreca. An exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball. We'll give away some great prizes as well. Now to score your VIP access, be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN. Again, that's 888-987-3776. It is Clubhouse Confidential. Presented by PC Richard and Son and 98.7 ESPN. So?
It was all right.
Not great?
It was better than yesterday. I mean, we could actually hear you today. It wasn't just
I'm telling you, I don't think I possess a sexy voice.
I was into it. Dave, yeah? I was into it. Yeah, you made me want it just now.
Really?
I invested my life in this sport.
That did it for me. It did it for me.
Nice. So at least I turned one guy on here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it didn't work for you? It's fine?
No. It wasn't even like nothing.
Nothing?
I felt a little magic, Dave. I felt a little magic. I was ready for baseball confidential.
Little pop, little, you know, nothing.
Nothing? That's unfortunate. I don't think I possess a sexy voice, so I don't think it's going to happen for you. I don't think you and I are meant to be together.
No, let's keep trying.
We'll keep trying?
Well, see, because sexy's different. Like, maybe I'm someone that needs to, you just got to talk dirty to me, maybe.
Oh.
Maybe I don't need sexy.
Okay. Well, we'll try something different in the 7 o'clock giveaway.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
We're 7 minutes away from getting to know your co-host. And Chris, I hope you win. Not only do I hope you win, I hope you drub him. 5-0, 4-1.
Dave, I'm looking to reassert my dominance in the game. Last week, I had to take a respite because it was getting to know me.
Yep.
But now I get a chance to jump back on the horse. I'm looking forward to another victory over one Rick DiPietro.
Because you, for some reason, Rick, you have a real issue with me this morning. And you're not even just saying it directly to me. You're telling RJ to tell me the nasty things you're saying about me. What's the matter with you?
I'm venting. This is my nerves
coming
through.
Why are you so angry?
I'm not angry.
Why do you hate me? 3 days ago, Chris,
he comes on the air.
He's like, I am a new guy. I'm a changed man. I'm going to have a different attitude towards you. And boom, Friday, the very same week, you're right back to where we were.
Well, because you know I don't like playing this game. So, yeah, I mean, you got me doing that. We're hanging up on callers and everything else. It's Friday. Trying to spice things up a little bit.
Firstly, I hung up on nobody. Second,
Mets just got swept.
You don't like anything we do. You don't like the draft game we're going to play. You don't like getting to know your co-host. You didn't like Major League Baseball projections. You don't anything we do that we try to go outside the box a little bit, you don't like. Anything where you can be proven wrong, you stress out about.
I'm not getting fleeced.
Yeah, I refuse to get fleeced. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, you're right. I don't like it. I like to just have a good time, talk. It's like being in the locker room. I ain't making like in the locker room, we don't start doing projections in the locker room. We don't play, you know, fun games like that.
This isn't, pal, this is not the locker room.
Yes, it is.
You didn't take
the
break.
Vision all for
right.
The show.
We'll be back in 4 minutes. Stay tuned with us right here in the Islanders locker room. No, you don't do that.
It was the Islanders locker room.
Well, whatever locker room you're in, you don't take
this
commercial breaks.
Our own locker room.
You don't have sponsors. Stop it. You're not showering.
I don't like your attitude right now.
I think you have completely lost.
No, because you're lashing out. Because you can't stand Dave Gettleman. And every time we play a Dave Gettleman soundbite, you have a nervous breakdown.
I didn't freak out.
You
started acting like a jerk to me. You said very nasty, hurtful things to me via RJ.
Mm.
We are the Giants.
You're the opposite of the Giants. You have no class.
We're going to do everything with class.
See? Very hurtful. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on DCR, PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. I didn't cater anything towards Chris, but I desperately hope he wins today.
You know who I keep an eye on, too, if Dave Gettleman, I know.
Who are you going to say? Oh, really? Because I know you're going to make fun of something. Who are you going to say?
No, I'm not making fun of anybody. I mean, everyone just assumed, like, you guys brought up Abrams. I mean, what about Kyle O'Brien, who they brought in? Has ties to Joe Judge.
I don't know much about him at all, to be honest with you.
Well, here's the thing, Rico. Like, I'm not opposed to it, but I'm with Dave. I feel like the next general manager for the Giants, if they do move on from Dave Gettleman, it needs to be an exhaustive search. Like, they need to look outside of the organization. They need to look at all the qualified candidates. They need to cast a wide net so they can find the best person for the job. Just don't feel like they did that the last time around. Like, they were in a hurry. Once they fired Jerry Reese, I feel like they panicked a little bit at the end of 2017, and they just went for somebody that they knew they would be comfortable with, as opposed to going with somebody that could get the program back on track.
Dave, Kyle O'Brien, did you know, born and raised Garden City, New York?
I did not know that.
Garden City.
I've tried in the past.
Oh, God. All right. So John Beck, currently a quarterback guru, formerly the starting quarterback at Brigham Young University, was on KJZ, and he said, don't worry. If he can handle Utah, Zach Wilson, that is, he'll be fine in New York.
This I will say about Provo, Utah. When you're a quarterback there, there's a legacy of quarterbacks dating way back to when Lavelle Edwards was there. There's a lot of All-Americans. There's Davey O'Brien winners. There's guys who are in the College Football Hall of Fame. There's a Heisman Trophy winner. That one position is the face of Provo, Utah. It means so much to that university, and it is scrutinized a lot. And, you know, a lot of people, they've asked me, how is Zach Wilson, who's now going to potentially be the number two pick in the draft, how is he in a quarterback battle entering fall camp? It's because of the expectations that are there at the quarterback position. Even though Provo, Utah may not be a big place in the United States, the expectations are very high. And if their quarterback is not performing up there with some of the top guys in the country, well, the question is, do we need to go get somebody else? So that's very similar to what it's going to be like in the NFL. Can I say that that pressure is the same as New York? No, it's not. But I do believe it's at least will act as a stepping stone to help prepare Zach for what it's going to be like if he is the Jets' choice.
Listen, I disagree with that. I'm sure that there's a lot of pressure in Utah, and being the next in line of great BYU quarterbacks means something. But in comparison to New York and the scrutiny you'll be under, I would think that it's probably not comparable.
I don't even think it's close. And again, we haven't sat with this kid. I don't know what he's made out of. When we've heard all the things about him having a chip on his shoulder and everything else. But, I mean, this is there's been guys that have signed in New York that have already established themselves as good players, really good players, and you name the sport, that can't handle New York. Like grown men that have played Major League Baseball, whatever it is, that can't handle New York.
That's right. Like Sonny Gray comes to mind.
Alex Rodriguez struggled with being a Yankee.
It's hard.
Giancarlo Stanton is struggling being a Yankee. It's not easy. Not everyone has the makeup to deal with it, to handle the pressure.
No.
Especially when all of a sudden you're the second overall pick.
And we're going to compare Provo. Listen, Robbie Bosco and Steve Young, and I get it. They Mark Wilson, they have had terrific quarterbacks over the years. But to compare Provo, Utah to New York and the magnitude of how big that is compared to how big this is, I don't think is even close. I know he said stepping stone, but I think it's a terrible comparison, to be honest, Chris.
Yeah, it's awful, Dave. Like, there's nothing that can prepare you for New York City because there's no place like New York City. So, I mean, I get it. I understand the scrutiny that comes along with playing quarterback at BYU, but you could say playing quarterback at any major program has a lot of pressure. But that pressure pales in comparison to what they're going to face when they get to New York City. It's not close. But that's why it's so important that the Jets are comfortable with the mental makeup of Zach Wilson. Like, before they made that trade with the Panthers and got rid of Sam Darnold, like, I hope that they sat down with this kid and had conversations, and they came to the determination that he's mentally tough enough to be able to handle all the slings and arrows that are going to come his way when he struggles. Because no doubt, as a rookie, there is a learning curve. He's going to struggle. It's just a matter of, does the kid have the right mental makeup? Does he have enough fortitude to get to the other side of that and be a successful quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, forget stepping. It's like a skipping stone.
It's not close. It's not even close.
Especially under the circumstances.
The talent level is not. I mean, obviously, the talent level, you're taking a step up, a huge step up. Second of all, just the magnitude of New York compared to anywhere else is a huge step up. This is a monster difference for this kid, for any kid.
For anybody, period, that hasn't played in New York. I mean, how many times have we talked about it with the Knicks? I mean, you got guys that, I mean, are the best in their sport that don't want to take on the challenge of playing in New York because of the media and the fan scrutiny and everything else. And the context, I mean, you got to take into account the context, too, of what's happening here. We're fresh off of what happened with Sam Darnold on the third overall pick. And now we're using the second overall pick on a quarterback? The amount of pressure that's going to go into that?
There's going to be a ton. He's got to be good. Listen, he doesn't need to be great right away. He needs to show you something right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's going to be measured against so many. Like, he's going to be measured against how Sam's doing in Carolina, how Justin Fields is doing wherever he goes, how Mac Jones, wherever he goes, how Trey Lance, wherever he goes. Or, I mean, the people that wanted to keep Sam and trade back. I mean, this is...
A lot of pressure on this kid. We'll see. I mean, if he can answer the questions right away, God bless him, but it's not easy, and it won't be, certainly. Quickly, Rob Saleh addressed the media, had this to say as far as starting a rookie quarterback. I don't think there's risk, he said yesterday. Still comes down to having a good football team and building a good roster around everybody. There's players here that are talented. There's rookies that are talented. The expectation is that they're one of 53 when it's all said and done, and they've all got to perform their best to create a great football team. So as far as pressure is concerned, there's no pressure on me. There's always pressure. There's always pressure to put together the best football team that we possibly can, regardless of who is playing. I'm very comfortable with every decision that's made, and it's our job to put them in the best possible position to be successful, and not just the quarterback, but every single player that takes the field. That is your new head coach yesterday.
And I think what he just said is part of the reason why his players love playing for him. That's what we've heard. I mean, Richard Sherman said kind of the same thing, echoed the same thing, is that he puts you in position to have success. He's well prepared. I mean, you see what he does motivationally. I mean, on the sideline, he's going to be the complete polar opposite.
You think some of that fire is not there now that he's the head coach? Or you think he's still as fiery and upbeat and as excitable?
I'm hoping he's. I think he's still there.
Still fiery, Dave. I think that's just who he is. Like in talking to people that have played for him, people that know him, like that's just who he is. Like he's a fiery coach. I don't think that's like, you know, him, you know, being a fraud or anything like that. The guy that you see on the sidelines clapping it up and high fiving his players and smacking them on the back, like that's who he is. And so you're hoping that, you know, he brings that same type of energy, that same type of leadership to this Jets team because, quite frankly, they need it. Like, you're hoping that him being the head coach doesn't take away, you know, from, you know, him being, you know, the emotional leader of the team. But, I mean, I think the Jets need him to be that in order for this program to have any shot at being successful.
All right, we'll get into the Jets, get to the calls in the 7 o'clock hour. Rick, how you feeling? You feeling good? You feeling nervous? Anxious? Excited?
No, I'm not even nervous. No, I'm not even nervous. I don't really like you right now, so I don't really care if I get any of these questions right anyway.
Wow. Good. I hope you get them all wrong. I hope you're winless, just like you were basically last week where I demolished you. Chris, I hope you win. Let's take care of business here.
Hold on, time out. Just for one second, because, I mean, you're going to paint me to be the bad guy, just so people know what happened off the air. I was joking, and I said something nasty for RJ to tell Dave. And rather than, like, why did Rick say that? Is it a joke? The first thing that he says is, I hope your son's team loses tonight in their first baseball game.
Who said that?
That's what you said. I hope your team loses is what you said.
I didn't say that.
RJ told me that's what you said. I hope you lose.
RJ, I didn't say
anything. I hope you get attacked by a bobcat.
RJ, you're lying. I didn't say anything about his son's baseball team.
No, I think this is a poor game of telephone.
You're a bad guy. People need to know you're a bad guy.
Who?
You. You're a bad guy.
I didn't say that.
You thought it.
RJ, oh, my God.
He doesn't want to create friction.
All right, let's go. Give me the open.
Look at what is happening.
Give me the open. Let's go.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... Oh, my God. All right, RJ, if you can give us the updated standings, I would greatly appreciate it.
All right, well, Dave, it's actually unfortunate. It's a time in the rotation you probably wish you could actually play.
Oh, I've been so red hot.
You have, in your last three contests, you've won all three, Dave. You have not lost since week 5. But on the season-long standings, Chris has 4 victories.
Hello.
Dave has, Roardback has 3, and that leaves Rick with 2. This is week 10.
Oh,
so hot right now.
In last place at the moment. Is that correct, RJ?
He is, but things could change.
Things certainly could change. All right. Are you ready, Chris?
I'm ready, Dave.
Rick, as much as you hate me, are you ready for the game?
Yeah, I'm ready for the game.
Question one. How much weight did I lose for the big bar mitzvah purge? Was it A, 17 pounds, B, 22 pounds, C, 27 pounds? How much weight did I lose a little more than a year ago before Ben's bar mitzvah? A, 17, B, 22, C, a 27.
That's such a self-serving question.
Oh, my God.
Such a self-serving
question. It's about me.
I was fat at one point.
It's supposed to be. It's getting to know me.
You're going to start making things up.
Get it wrong. Please get it wrong. All right, are you ready to move on?
Yeah.
All right. Stripping naked during Giants games started with what game? A, 2007 Tampa. B, 2007 Dallas. Chris, you remember that game. C, 2007 Packers. stripping naked and not exactly understanding how that happened started A, 2007 Tampa, B, 2007 Dallas, C, 2007 Packers. Are we ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hate these questions. Yep.
Question three. My ideal Sunday breakfast slash brunch would be A, a bacon, egg, and cheese with very crispy bacon.
Love bacon.
B, toasted sesame bagel, tuna fish, lettuce, tomato. Multiple cream cheeses? Or C, interesting that you play that, a toasted poppy seed bagel with cream cheese. I'm not a pear. A, favorite breakfast on a Sunday, bacon, egg, and cheese, very crispy bacon.
Oh, is it breakfast or brunch? Now you said breakfast.
Oh, whatever. What would I like to eat on Sunday? Oh, come on. You're such a baby.
No, because you got two breakfast items and one lunch item.
What? Brunch. 11:30 on Sunday morning, which is typically my first meal, would be A, bacon, egg, and cheese, very crispy bacon. Mm-hmm. B, tuna on a toasted sesame, lettuce, tomato. C, toasted poppy seed, cream cheese. You good to move forward here?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, this.
Oh, here we go. Let me get at my violin for you. I once bet a large amount of money on A, the Kentucky Derby. B, the NBA All-Star Game. Or C, Olympic hockey. Oh. I once bet a large sum of money on A, the Kentucky Derby. B, the WNBA All-Star Game. C, Olympic hockey.
There's no D, all of the above?
There's no D, all of the above. That's funny.
Wow.
All right, and lastly, why do you hate me? Lastly, now I don't know that I've ever mentioned this, but I think it's a good story, and I want to make it a little difficult down the stretch here. But nobody would know the answer, so you can guess as best of your abilities. As a six-year-old, I went to a panel of speakers. I was in the back with my dad, and they started asking questions. 100-plus kids there. Nobody knew the answers. I knew all the answers. The panel called me up to sit with them and answer the questions for them because I wowed everyone in the audience. That was A, Jets players, B, Giants players, or C, tennis legends. I was called up on a panel as a six-year-old because I knew all the answers about A, the Jets players, B, the Giants players, C, tennis legends. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go through all the questions, how great Dave is. Let's just every question about how great Dave is.
Two bring any semblance of what you're talking about. The other three have nothing to do with that, even a little bit.
Well, no, I didn't realize that was part of the game. Like, let's highlight why we're great and also have questions that we've never talked about so we can just guess.
There's one that you may not know.
I am too smart.
And you know what?
Damn Archie.
I asked the guys, should I go with this one or somewhere else? And they're like, no, go with that. It's a great one. So I did, and you're just a baby. All right, question
I'm surprised
one.
One of the questions wasn't like, my junk is 10.
Next time I host, maybe I'll go there. All right, Chris, let's go. Get these right and shut him out and shut him up.
I got to be honest, Dave, I don't feel very confident right now. I'm throwing darts at a dartboard. Not very confident.
Rick, are you confident?
No, I'm not confident. I hope.
How much weight did I lose for the big bar mitzvah? How much weight did I lose for the big bar mitzvah? A, 17, B, 22, C, 27.
Who's up first?
You are.
I'm up first?
Yeah.
Initially, I wanted to say 17 pounds, but I think you lost more than that. I'm going to go B, 22 pounds before the bar mitzvah.
B, 22 pounds. Chris?
I'm going to go C, 27.
Rick, you're correct.
Yes!
That is correct.
Yeah, baby.
1-0, Rick.
Yes!
All right. The nudity in the postseason started in 2007/2008. And it started when? In the game against Tampa, in the game against Dallas, in the game against the Packers. Chris?
Dave, I'm going to go A, Tampa.
Rick?
Strategically, I'm going to go A, Tampa as well.
You're both wrong. It was a game that one Chris Canty was involved with.
Dallas.
It was the Dallas game. I couldn't control myself. My pants got ripped off. My boxers were thrown to the corner. And I was naked, late stages, fourth quarter. When Patrick Creighton dropped that pass, I was flapping in the wind, baby. All right.
Wow. Okay.
That thing's one too nothing small Rick. To flap.
Question three. Almost took out an eye. All right, question three. My ideal Sunday brunch would be bacon, egg, and cheese with very crispy bacon, tuna, toasted sesame, lettuce, tomato, or the toasted poppy with cream cheese. Let's go back to Rick.
Yeah, see, this question's not fair because I know you like all three of them.
We've talked about all three. But that's not fair because Chris asked a question last week where he liked all three, but there was one that he liked better.
Okay, so I know that your definition of picking up breakfast, which I think you do on Sundays, is you go and get bagels. And I know that your favorite bagel is the poppy with the cream cheese. So I'm going to go poppy cream cheese.
Ah! I was going to go the same one. I can't do it. It's too early in the game. I'm going to go see toasted poppy with cream cheese.
It's a shame you didn't go in a different direction. It is toasted sesame, tuna, lettuce, and tomato.
Wow.
Which I've mentioned numerous times. And I think you've even asked me, Rick, what's your favorite breakfast sandwich? And I've told you that. So that's a horrendous.
No, you said you like tuna on the sesame. You never said it's your favorite breakfast item.
But how many times have I told you I love tuna on the sesame?
Yeah, but how many times have you told me you love the poppy and the cream cheese?
I don't even know who you are anymore. All right, here we go.
Multiple cream cheeses.
I once bet large amounts of money on A, the Kentucky Derby, which is this Saturday, B, the WNBA All-Star Game, or C, Olympic hockey. Chris, you're up.
I'm going to go with B, the WNBA All-Star Game.
I'm going WNBA, too, because the West was dominant.
You're so right. I mean, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, Tisha Panichero. It was a large wager, and it was a tremendous win for me. All right, and lastly, now, Chris, you're going to have to go outside the box here.
I know, Dave. I know.
As a six-year-old, I was called up on a panel of whom to help them because I knew so much and was such a genius. It does sound self-serving, by the way. A, Jets players. B, Giants players. C, tennis legends. Rick, you're up.
I'm taking age into account, and this is when you're like heavily into tennis before you assaulted someone with the tennis racket. So I'm going to go with tennis legends.
Okay. C, tennis legends. Chris, obviously you're not going to go tennis legends. The answer is?
I'm going to go Giants players, Dave B.
You had such a golden opportunity.
It was A?
It was Bruce Harper. It was Burgess Owens. It was the New York Jets who brought me up on the panel to sit with them and answer questions from kids at a day camp.
Yes.
And that is it.
Yes.
That is correct.
Sadly.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
And unfortunately, Rick wins that battle.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.